I believe it's already started and it will be huge revival in Ukraine. But I need to tell you, many Christians from Ukraine, they went to Poland, Moldova, Czech Republic, Italy, all Europe country, and they will bring gospel to Europe. I believe it.
Hey, it's an honor to be with you again. And today is a special broadcast. You know, through these last few months, and actually the last couple of years, every time we have been at a decision point, God has given us a window with insight in order to respond in that moment. He did it over and over and over again through COVID. Well, for these last few weeks, our news cycle has been dominated by Ukraine and the war there and all the different messages surrounding that. And to be honest, it's confusing. We don't know who to trust, what message to receive, where to look. Well, I have some good friends, and they are church leaders, pastors in Ukraine and Belarus, and God brought them to Tennessee. And we're going to sit down, and with their wisdom and insight, they just arrived in the U.S. from Ukraine. We will hear what's happening there and how we can respond as believers from the place where we stand to make a difference in what's happening right now. I believe it's God's timing again. You know, if we will ask Him, He will give us the insight we need to move forward, no matter the confusion and disruption around us. You're going to enjoy meeting Pastor Genna and his wife, Larissa. There's an anointing on their life. They're making a difference in nations where that is a challenge. And God brought them today to share with us. Enjoy the lesson. Well, I have the privilege of introducing our guests, Genna and Larissa. Why don't you join us up here? Give them a hand. They're coming. They've come a long way to be in Middle Tennessee. We first met Genna and Larissa. It's been at least 20 years. Some of you, one of the families who were a part of World Outreach when we were really a fledgling congregation, just trying to find our way, was Dr. and Mrs. Bob Hackman. And Dr. Hackman met Genna and visited Belarus. And after that, if you had a five-minute conversation with Dr. Hackman, you had to get an update on Genna and Belarus. And my parents have been, and we have been friends, and they have been here before, but we've had the privilege of making a journey together now for, I think it's at least 20 years. Your children were small, and they're not so small any longer. You're going to be a grandmama.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's exciting. You understand my accent better than theirs, so I'm going to give you some of the words and the key ideas, and they're going to give you the details. But their English is so much better than my Russian. I tried to think of the Russian words I knew, and the list was embarrassing. I knew vodka. Well, apparently you knew it too, or you wouldn't have laughed. So it must be because we watch TV and we learn those kind of words from watching television. But my Russian vocabulary was pretty limited. But welcome, Genna, back to Murfreesboro. We're delighted to have you tonight.
Thank you. Привет. If you will say, have Russian word, привет. Let's say hi.
Привет. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at me, I'm bilingual.
This is better word than vodka, you know. Привет. You will know another good word in Russian. Привет.
Good. I need some help. Oh, how long since you have been here? I can't remember. It's been quite a while. It's been a few years.
I think 4 years.
4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. We all look younger. You have two daughters. Mm-hmm. Tell us their ages and...
Our oldest, she's almost 26. She came to Germany to Bible school, and she met their American guy, and then they married, and now she lives in Atlanta. And we expecting grandbaby in September. And our youngest, she's 22, She's living with us and she's studying.
Very good.
Anastasia and Tanya.
And you, why don't you tell us your last name? If I pronounced it, it would not help you.
My full name, Gennady Kernozhitsky. Kernozhitsky, last name.
And if you can spell that, I'll give you a gold star. Very good. Thank you for naming me Alan. I would have had to have my name tattooed on my hand if it had that many letters. God was good to me. But you pastor in Belarus, in Minsk.
Yes.
It's where you planted that church, correct?
Correct.
But now you actually oversee churches in Belarus and in Ukraine?
In Ukraine, yeah. We have 20 churches in Ukraine and about approximately 1,000 people altogether. And all these 20 churches.
Very good. Tell us a little bit about what church life is like. Like you mentioned that the police came since you left.
When we left, when war started, actually we came to America 3 days before war came. And our churches start together for prayers. And some people will say, well, we have to go outside on streets and protest against the war. And some people did, and they put them to the prison. But as a Christians, we decided we need to pray more. And we announced, like, it will be a prayer meeting between all the churches, like prayer, night prayer. And police came, and they said, no, you're not allowed to have between churches. Like, one church, it's okay, you can gather and pray. But because it's against the war and many churches. And this time it was on polite way, but they said, please, go home. We'll not give you opportunity to pray anymore.
So churches can't gather in groups. One church could get together, but if two churches or a group of Christians wanted to get together to pray for the war, it's illegal. And they send the secret police to monitor that. So if when Americans talk, we talk about socialism and communism, like they really have some good features that we could consider. If you were going to talk to the American young people, what would you say to them about that?
I will say, if you wish that way to live, you don't understand. I mean, you don't understand what you wish. It's bad wish. I mean, I will tell you one thing. It was very, very difficult to be Christian. When I was in school, I just tell you one small story. When I was maybe 12, I was a good student. I mean, I liked to study. But because I was a Christian, she will put me on in front of the class, and she will tell so many bad things about me. Like I'm a liar, like I'm stupid because I believe in Bible, and I will be nothing when I will grow up. And I was hearing this like years. So I will say, be thankful to God and maybe to your parents and your grandparents for freedom. Yeah.
All right. Well, we hear a lot about Ukraine these days in the news. And I know you have a brother who's a pastor in Kyiv, mm-hmm. a large church, 3,000 people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, Gina, you oversee many churches in Ukraine. So you have a lot of firsthand experience with that. So all we have is what we hear on our news. And I know you've been here a couple of days and you've seen our news. Do you think it was accurate?
Well, when I turned Fox News, and first thing they was telling, I heard, I turned it off. I could not listen even. It was just so not true. What I heard, they were saying Zelensky is a dictator, and he is trying to stop all the political parties and be like a kind of one. And several parties were pro-Russian, and there was kind of on my opinion, I will put them to jail even, because during the war time, they was creating difficulties. They were betrayers, not opposition, but there is real freedom there. And I will say more, Ukrainian is a so Christian country. Some villages are 60, 70. In one village, I know even 90% of the people are Christian. They're all going to the church. And if you will go, you don't need even to lock the door. It's just so safe and protected. And it's not true, like Ukrainian people are killing their own children and they are, like what Russian propaganda is saying. It's absolutely not true. Most, if you will ask now any Russian pastor who's in Russia somewhere, when freedom came in 1991, all the Ukrainians, they went to Russia and start new churches there. Because Ukrainian was most of the Christian people. And if this war is not just against Ukrainians, it's against Christianity, I will say. Mm-hmm. Because the, because people want to have their own freedom, and how they are now united, how they are, how they're praying, it's just different. Of course, there's some problems in Ukraine. I didn't say like, oh, they are fully holy and everything. Of course not. But there's not true what Russian propaganda is saying, absolutely.
So the what I've heard several reports of was that Zelensky was banishing all the opposition parties in an attempt to establish himself as a dictator, kind of similar to Putin and that. And what Genna helped me understand was that he took the parties that were betraying Ukraine and working with Putin to really as traitors against the country. So it wasn't a political move. And the other thing you said that I thought was helped me so much was that the Ukrainian people would never tolerate a dictator.
Yeah. Because
they have been free. I heard that. That was so real in you all.
It was already two revolutions. It's called First Revolution. It's called Orange Revolution. And Russians, they were saying something bad about... They said, during the Orange Revolution, American put drugs inside of oranges. And give it to people. It's just kind of some stupid things. But anyway, it was Orange Revolution. Then in 2014, when Russian start to occupy it one more time, Ukrainian in Crimea, there was another revolution. It was a big, and Ukrainians want to be free, and local people are they will not tolerate the dictator, not at all. They become a free nation.
And I will want to say some Russians or some other people say ask Ukrainians, are you fight for president? And they say, no, we fight for our country, for our people. Yes, we honor president now because he is with us. But we are fighting for the country, for freedom, not just for government.
Hey, this is Pastor Allen, and I want to invite you to join us in Middle Tennessee. We're having a spring festival on Saturday evenings. We're having church outside. We put up our outside stage. We'll have a worship service. We have a guest artist. There'll be a concert after service, food trucks. The church community will be there. And then on Sunday morning, we step inside, and you can be a part of a worship service in Three Crosses Sanctuary in the middle of the World Outreach Church community. It's springtime. It's growing season. And I want to grow spiritually this year. I'd like you to grow as well. Make an investment in a trip to Middle Tennessee. Be in the midst of God's people. Open your heart to the Lord. Let's take 2022 as a year when we invite the Spirit of God into our lives so that when we face the next challenge and disruption, we've prepared our hearts and our minds and our souls. I'll see you soon in Middle Tennessee. You see, prayer is not passive. Men, I think, are often reluctant to really give themselves to prayer. We think it's some sort of a passive
response. It's quite the opposite. Prayer is an assertion of spiritual intent. Prayer is inviting God to bring His resolutions into our lives. When we pray, all heaven moves. Angels are dispatched. The courses of nations are changed. The destiny of your children is altered. We can't afford not to pray.
I want to share an idea with you that'll help you take prayer outside the church and outside those places you expect to find a prayer. You know, just before a meal or before bed or in the middle of a crisis or in a hospital. Prayer needs to be integrated into our lives 24/7. Let's call it Let's Pray. You know, we're social creatures. I live in the South and we're polite, so we ask questions that we don't really care about the answer to. How are you feeling today? You know, we're not really listening. We just ask to be nice. But if you'll listen, people give you a lot of information. Well, I don't feel great today. We just changed to daylight savings time and I haven't had much sleep. Or my kids have been sick and life's been really hectic. Or my car broke down or whatever. But in that moment of sharing, there's an opportunity. You can commiserate with them or you can say, let's pray. Now, here's my suggestion. When you hear that moment, don't ask for permission. Don't say, may I pray with you? I feel led to pray with you. Just say, let's pray. And after you say that, close your eyes and offer a one-sentence prayer. Only one sentence. Don't quote a verse of scripture. Don't tell them your favorite pastor's name. Don't give them a sermon reference. One sentence. Lord, help my friend. They're tired. Give them strength. Amen. Lord, I pray you'll make clarity in the confusion. Amen. One sentence. And after you've prayed, say amen and move on. Don't wait for affirmation. Don't wait for encouragement. Invite God into your world. It'll change it. Let's pray.
Those Let's Pray moments provide a simple and easy way to pray for others. And today, we're offering a tool to help focus your prayer time at home. Pastor Allen's book, Let's Pray, provides 30 foundational prayers that can help fuel your prayer life. It also has scripture, inspiring quotes, and helpful questions for each day. Remember, the time we spend praying can change the course of nations and clear the way for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's your generosity that enables Alan Jackson Ministries to continue broadcasting messages like these. And we'd like to send you the Let's Pray book as a thank you for your donation of $10 or more today. Request your copy by going to alanjackson.com or by calling 800-880-5102.
So tell us more than you oversee churches other than just the one, the pastor, the one you pastor personally. Mm-hmm. In Belarus,
And Ukraine.
In Ukraine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially I would like to share about Ukraine more because during these days, because there are so many refugees going away from Ukraine, we have my good friend, he's a pastor in Czech Republic, Pastor Peter, and he, I talked to him and I asked him if he can host some wives and children from our churches in Ukraine, and they was able to move, and we have 76, now it will be 80 already people, like who is coming to live in Czech Republic, and this is one of the big thing, like we need to help them to maintain and everything. But also not all the people are going away from Ukraine, but they are going to the west part of Ukraine. And in the west part also they need to find a place to stay and things. And also we are able to help them. But mainly now during this, for example, Pastor Yuri in Nikolaev. City is almost surrounded, and there's not easy to find food and everything, but he's trying to kind of go to Odessa, and because he have minivan and bring some food, and he have in church kind of like a place to give food to other people, and they make kind of registration with government, and government know if they need, if somebody will come to them and ask for help, they will come. Said, okay, there is a church, this address, and they can help you, and this way, kind of like, and what is good now, how on my vision, what I understand, if I will able to help these local churches, and they will be a base, then when everything will be over, people will know in difficult situation, this church helped me. I want to come and be a member of this church because this church was able to help me. And I'm just thinking like, I'm not just thinking about now, but also about like the church will be in bigger authority because of that. Actually, how I start to know you through Pastor, through Dr. Hackman, we just started a church in Berezino. It was government, everybody was against us. But because of the group of doctors came, and for 1 week, we saw about 1,000 patients. Mm-hmm. Big group of doctors came, and we were helping, and people were coming, and we gave them medicine. We prayed for them together. I say we, because I was in prayer team, and Dr. Hackman was check blood pressure, things like this, and give some medicine, and put people, and they have to go everybody through us. And after that, all the kind of, because town where I was living, about 15,000, and 1,000 people came through us. Can you imagine people, because before they were thinking, oh, this is sect, we don't want to do anything, because it's a new town for us, we came to start new church, and when after the group of doctors came, and we have a kind of, people was more open to us. The same way how I just see now in Ukraine, when we will be able to help more to these churches, and they will be help to local people more, then it will be a more kind of, will be bring light to them.
Mm-hmm. You said people were coming because of the war, Larissa. People mm-hmm. were coming to the churches because of the war?
Oh, yes. People comes even, for example, the church in Kyiv, it's Ukrainian and Russian language. Why you hear sometimes Kyiv or Kyiv?
Which one is Ukrainian?
Kyiv.
With two I. It's yeah. The Ukrainian way.
We're multilingual hillbillies. Come on.
And they have church building with basement. So local people even come to spend a night to the church, to the basement. And church people serve them like hot tea, coffee, something, you know, small food, and the people are in huge stress. Can you imagine? You know, because they always hear these strange sounds. You know, the
sirens
and all of that. So Christian people talk to these people and ask them, can we pray with you for peace? God will, all people, they said, of course, you can pray for me. And then they tell their stories and how they afraid. So church now, it's a light. So people come into the church and people pray with them. And I believe it's already start, and it will be huge revival in Ukraine. But I need to tell you, many Christians from Ukraine, they went to Poland, Moldova, Czech Republic, Italy, all Europe country, and they will bring gospel to Europe. I believe it. And do you know what I told Pastor this, and I want to tell you, Ukrainians, they fight not just for Ukraine. Can I boldly say to you, they fight even for you. Because I know if Ukraine will win, but because if not, it can be, the war can split to Europe, and you know, who knows? So pray for Ukraine, maybe do something, because it's not the war, not just in Ukraine, and they fight not only for Ukraine. So I believe in prayer.
We have brothers and sisters around the world
who are standing under much greater adversity than we have even imagined yet. And they're doing it with courage and boldness. They have an enthusiasm for the gospel that challenges me. And I think you hear that. And we're still trying to decide if what we'll do with a mug or 6 weeks of an invitation to a festival. And Lord, help us. I hope we run out of parking. We've only got 200 acres. We'll figure it out. If you'll help, we'll figure it out. But we will make a commitment to continue to pray for you. You know, we have walked together for quite a while.
Yes. Yeah, and we feel it. We feel it like we are family. Thank you very much for your prayer and your support. Thank you very much.
I believe God has given you and me freedom so we can take our place in praying for the church and the earth and not just asking for His blessings upon our lives. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your people throughout the earth. Certainly for those in Ukraine today who are suffering greatly at the hands of this very destructive conflict. Lord, send your angels to stand guard around them. But we pray beyond that. Lord, I pray for the church around the earth that's persecuted, that stands beneath great threat and intimidation. I pray that you would meet every need that they have. Give us a burden in our hearts to stand with them. May we be aware of the freedom and liberty we have and the opportunity it gives to us to pray and intercede and cry out to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Join us every week for another exciting message from Pastor Alan Jackson. And until then, visit us online and discover remarkable information and resources to help take your Christian life to the next level. And if you're visiting the Nashville area, we'd love to see you at World Outreach Church in Murfreesboro. We're easy to find, so look us up when you're traveling through. And don't forget to connect with Pastor Jackson every day through social media. Thanks so much for joining us and being a part of this ministry. We'll see you again next time for another encounter with Pastor Alan Jackson.